One of the most key and pivotal moments in human history, if not the key and pivotal moment in human history, occurs. The birth of Jesus Christ. And it goes largely unnoticed by kings and dignitaries and important people, but rather noticed by the unimportant. Shepherds in a field, astronomers in a foreign land, a virgin named Mary, and a man, a carpenter, named Joseph. And it's interesting that if you look at those that God chose to reveal himself to, there's something that you can find in common. One group was the Magi, who we celebrate next week on the Epiphany, a group of astronomers observing the cosmos and cosmic events which lead them to Bethlehem. Another group were the shepherds. They were alone out in the field with smelly, dirty sheep, making sure they didn't get eaten by wolves or run off somewhere. Mary is asked to give birth to her first child in a stable. Not in a birthing suite, but in a stable. What do Mary and the Magi and the shepherds have in common? They were contemplative by nature. You see, the astronomers were contemplating God through their observance of his creation, particularly the stars. The shepherds, I'm sure, did much the same as they stood out there in the field, contemplating God's creation, whether in the sheep or the cold night that they endured. Mary, it says, kept all these things in her heart. Now, there's a tendency to read this passage and to think, oh, Mary was somehow in this beautiful spiritual state because it was like Christmas for her, right? No. When it says that she reflected upon all these things in her heart, she was reflecting on the fact that she had to give birth to a child in a stable with animals. She was reflecting upon the fact that shepherds came to visit her from a field, that astrologers came with strange gifts, gold for king, frankincense for worship, myrrh for death. You see, guys, when we look at Mary and the Magi and the shepherds, why were they able to see the revelation of God through this in this beautiful moment, this first Christmas? Because they were contemplative, but not the type of contemplative you tend to think of. I watched last week, Father Ben talked me into watching a movie I've been avoiding watching for a long time. It's called Into Great Silence. I'd heard about it. Some of you have probably seen it. It's about Cistercian monks in the Swiss Alps. They live in a cloister, meaning in a closed-in community. They live in silence. They are allowed out only on solemnities like this weekend to talk for about an hour. And they make chartreuse, if any of you have ever had the liqueur. What was interesting about this movie is there are almost no words in the whole movie. And you're literally, for an hour, you can sit and watch this thing, and you watch them do what they do day to day, and there's not a word spoken. And yet it wraps you in. You say, guys, contemplating God occurs both for them and for us. Both for those who are called to a vocation of contemplating God and that alone amidst their work, and those who live in the world, those who are given the responsibility of getting a spouse to heaven, for having and raising children in an awkward world. When you hear contemplation, do you think of those monks in the Swiss Alps, or do you think of you? Because I think the error that we make many times is we think of those monks up in the Swiss Alps and think, I'll never be like that. And already Satan's won because you've given up on the goal. You too, brothers and sisters, are called to contemplation. Contemplation in a daily life. When it says that Mary kept all these things in her heart and reflected on them, it's not because she got a week-long retreat after giving birth to Jesus. It's because she had to learn how to fend for herself with Joseph in a town that was not their own, living in a stable, bringing a child into the world with a man who did not father that child. You see, guys, God speaking to us, contemplating God, occurs in some of the most difficult circumstances in life. But it's exactly when you take those difficult circumstances and get back down on your knees and plea before God for help. Our tendency is to think that the spiritual life and access to God comes when I'm feeling good and when I feel close to God and it's easy to pray. And that is sometimes true. But contemplating God also occurs, and sometimes most deeply occurs, when we're in the midst of terrible things, difficult things, circumstances that we never imagined ourselves in. Can you imagine Mary as a little girl, like many little girls do, dreaming of growing up, marrying a dashing young man, having a honeymoon in the Bahamas, you know, whatever they did back then. And yet here she is in a stable. Contemplation occurs in the daily circumstances of life. When we say, I'm walking back to my office and I just got chewed out by my boss, and I say, Lord, help me to be patient with that man, instead of going to my coworkers and telling him what he just did. It occurs when my spouse has said something hurtful to me and I'm brooding over it, and instead of lashing back or holding it against them, I take that awful and very painful step of reaching out and grabbing their hand and saying, can we say a prayer together so that God can resolve this? It's when your children disobey you in a way that you feel betrayed. They don't see all the good things, the hard work you put out for them. Yet still giving them a hug and telling them you love them. And these are the moments when God can even reveal himself to us more than whether we were sitting in a, instead of sitting in a quiet church listening for him. You know, the parable that Jesus uses in the Bible to talk about the sowing of the gospel, he compares to seed, as if what I was doing as a priest was standing up here and throwing out seeds to all of you, and you are the ground, and it becomes planted in you and then grows. And we can, you know, we've got the church a pretty good temperature. It's nice and warm for those things that grow in warmth. Hopefully the seed's worth something. But I wonder for you today, is the ground fertile? Or is Jesus sowing on rocks? Do you encounter God in every part of your day by not just saying hi, God, in the morning and hi, God, in the evening, but contemplating as Mary did, pondering all these things, everything that occurs throughout your day, to go back to God and say, God, help me to understand this, to become a true contemplative? That's what provides God this seed ground that can help your faith grow into something you never thought possible. when he starts giving you gifts that you never had before. Today on this feast of our Mother of God, let us ask Mary, especially through her intercession, for the gift of being able to contemplate God no matter what our state in life.